Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Strangers in Their Own Land, Anger and Mourning on the American Right is a 2016 work of sociology by Arlie Russell Hochschild that examines the emotional life and political worldview of conservative Americans in Louisiana, especially Tea Party supporters, rather than treating political disagreement as a matter of ignorance or irrationality. Hochschild tries to understand how people on the American right experience their own lives, their communities, and the federal government. The book combines field interviews, participant observation, and social analysis to explain why many working and middle-class conservatives in environmentally damaged, economically struggling regions reject the very regulations and public programs that might seem designed to help them. Its purpose is both interpretive and bridge-building. It asks readers to look past partisan stereotypes and recognize the emotional logic behind political identity, resentment, loyalty, and distrust. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the deep story of waiting in line for the American dream. One of the book's most important ideas is Hochschild's concept of the deep story, an emotional narrative that helps explain how many Tea Party supporters interpret politics. In this story, people imagine themselves standing patiently in line for the American dream, working hard, following the rules, and waiting for a fair chance. Then they see others they believe are cutting ahead, often with the help of government programs or public sympathy. The force of the idea is not that it is literally true in every detail, but that it captures how fairness is felt from inside a political identity. Hochschild uses this framework to show that policy debates are often built on moral intuition before they become ideological positions. This helps explain why arguments based only on data or expert authority often fail. The deep story is emotionally compelling because it translates economic anxiety, racial unease, and class frustration into a simple moral picture of unfairness. Secondly, Louisiana as a case study in paradoxical anti-regulatory politics. Hochschild grounds her analysis in Louisiana because it offers a sharp contradiction. It is a state shaped by pollution, industrial risk, and economic hardship. Yet many residents oppose environmental regulation and distrust government intervention. She uses this setting to show that political beliefs cannot be understood only from objective conditions. People living amid chemical plants, sinkholes, and degraded land may still blame regulation for their problems because they already see government as distant, inefficient, or captured by elites. This paradox is central to the book. It suggests that lived suffering does not automatically produce support for liberal policy solutions. Instead, suffering is filtered through local culture, identity, and long-standing political narratives. Louisiana, therefore, functions as more than a regional example. It is a lens for understanding how economic dependency on industry and resentment toward government can reinforce one another, even when the result is continued exposure to harm. Thirdly, the emotional politics of resentment, pride, and belonging. The book is not mainly about policy disputes in the abstract. It is about emotion as a political force. Hochschild argues that many conservative Americans feel proud of self-reliance, faith, and family loyalty, but also wounded by a sense of being forgotten or disrespected. That mix of pride and injury helps explain why they are drawn to candidates and movements that affirm their dignity while attacking distant institutions. The book shows that anger is only part of the picture. Mourning matters too. Many people she meets are grieving lost jobs, declining communities, shrinking expectations, and a more uncertain future for their children. By emphasizing mourning, Hochschild avoids reducing political conservatism to hostility alone. She shows how people can simultaneously love their community, reject government help, and feel that modern America has moved beyond them. This emotional complexity is one of the book's major contributions because it reveals why political debates often become moral and personal instead of merely technical. Fourthly, empathy as method, listening across the red-blue divide. Hochschild's research method is as significant as her conclusions. She does not study her subjects from a distance. She spends years interviewing people, attending events, and observing daily life in order to understand their perspective on its own terms. This approach gives the book its distinctive empathy wall framework, the idea that political division is reinforced by mutual misunderstanding and social distance. Hochschild does not claim that empathy erases disagreement, but she argues that serious understanding requires entering the world of the people one disagrees with. That methodological choice matters because it challenges the tendency to dismiss conservative voters as simply misinformed or manipulated. At the same time, the book does not become an apology for their politics. It keeps moral and analytical tension intact by showing how respectful listening can coexist with clear-eyed critique. This makes the book useful not just as political sociology, but as a model for how to study polarized societies without caricature. Lastly, why the book matters for understanding Trump-era polarization. Although the book focuses on Louisiana and the Tea Party, Its broader significance lies in what it reveals about the political conditions that helped shape Trump-era conservatism. Hochschild describes a social world where distrust of elites, resentment toward outsiders, attachment to tradition, and skepticism of federal power overlap with economic insecurity and cultural displacement. Those patterns help explain why appeals to reason alone rarely settle political conflict. The book is especially valuable because it does not treat polarization as a simple battle between truth and falsehood. Instead, it presents polarization as a clash of stories about fairness, belonging, and national identity. That makes the book relevant to readers trying to understand why many voters support policies that appear counterproductive from the outside. Its continuing importance comes from this combination of empirical reporting and psychological insight. It gives readers a vocabulary for discussing right-wing populism without reducing it to either maliciousness or victimhood, which is rare in books on contemporary American politics. In conclusion, Strangers in Their Own Land is best suited for readers who want to understand American political polarization at a deeper level than punditry usually allows. It will be especially valuable to students of sociology, politics, environmental policy, journalism, and anyone trying to make sense of why many working class and religious conservatives distrust government, even when they live with the costs of weak regulation. The book offers practical benefits by improving political interpretation. It teaches readers to look for the emotional logic behind policy positions, not just the surface arguments. Intellectually, it stands out because Hochschild combines patient fieldwork with a strong analytical frame, the deep story, without losing sight of human complexity. Compared with books that simply argue for one side or the other, this one tries to explain the lived experience behind conservative anger and grief. That makes it unusually useful for readers who want both rigor and empathy. Its lasting value is that it helps readers understand division without flattening the people caught inside it. If you would like to support Arlie Russell Hochschild, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.